Well, this is a different train of thought than we've been talking about all day as it relates to marketing and economics, but it's relatively important, at least to Georgia, and especially in terms of, we think, in terms of the Southeast, in terms of Southeastern production for cotton. All this data that you see right there, why we've already discussed today, and you've seen that, so I'm not going to rehash it, but I will reiterate the fact that foreign markets do have a large influence on our cotton industry. We saw data earlier today about how demand for cotton, domestic mill demand, has been steady at times but declining overall, and at the same time we saw charts that showed that exports had been on a roller coaster ride, up and down, and like a wild ride. Consequently, the idea of transportation is something that at least we feel that we can address, because the domestic mill demand changes are going to be probably presented more by Mickey Peggy following me, because of the synthetic, how that has altered the textile industry. And then as it relates to exports, why I found that the exports are increasing, not because of necessarily because of our production, but because of policy by foreign countries like China, as well as the notion of the exchange rate, things like that, that are beyond the control of the cotton itself to have any income. And so if we can improve our efficiency, cost effectiveness of transportation, why we're going to at least maybe put ourselves in a better light economically. As a result of the shifts in trade patterns that will likely occur, and we've already seen occur, we heard earlier today about how the China mills have shifted toward Vietnam, and how that country is increasing in terms of its need for cotton rather than the cotton going to China. Why they've relocated some of their industries, China has, or have relocated. China didn't relocate them. But keep in mind that trying to think about an effective transportation means you're trying to look at somewhat, you know, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. And on the Pacific Rim, while literally even across the Pacific Ocean from the West Coast ports is obviously the cheapest and the fastest route to go. Reason it didn't come around to the Gulf ports as well as the Atlantic ports was that the drift toward the larger container ships, we were incapable of handling those or getting them unless they went to go all the way around the tip of South America and come up, because the Panama Canal couldn't handle it. So we know that the Panama is being expanded, and it's already a year and a half behind what the original due date was to be open for traffic. But if we could relieve some of that in the West Coast, that might expedite our shipments the Asian countries as well. Keep in mind that back in 2008, 2009, 2010, we were looking at some large exports of grain going to many of these countries. And they were being shipped on in container ships, and the need for containers as well as berths to put them so we could dock those ships at, that was all important. But again, when you're crowded and jammed up like they were on the West Coast, you're being left out in the cold, literally. And so we were being more inaccessible than accessible to those container ships for exporting agricultural commodities. We know that if we can influence our transportation network in an efficient manner, we'll influence our cotton mill use, cotton export, shipping patterns, and world trade through the Atlantic ports as the expansion accommodates these larger container ships. Deepening dredging dredging the southeastern Savannah, and even there's conversation in Charleston, needed to allow for deeper and wider ships. We will be able to alter the shipping patterns of not just cotton, but of agribusiness commodities and agribusiness products throughout the U.S. and from the southeast. It became very apparent, at least in Georgia, that any competitive advantage for Georgia cotton was going to be in improving the Savannah and Brunswick ports to be more competitive and more efficient. I've got to pause here momentarily and say, okay, why did I go about this particular study? Okay, the legislature was being approached by a lot of industries to say, hey, we're going to get left in the cold if we do not expand our port. We got to expand that Savannah port. We got to be able to handle those larger container ships. And as a result, why the legislature was saying, well, let's get some federal funding, and then we'll, if we can get that guaranteed, then we'll go to our state legislature and see if we can get, you know, some balance of some funds, and so we can do this, okay? Well, at the same time all this encouragement was going about, why the water folks and the environmental folks, water quality environmental folks, were very much against the any changes to the Savannah port, because they said dredging and widening and having bigger ships and all that, you're going to alter the entire ecostructure, the water-based ecostructure in the southeast. And so there was even litigation to stop the expansion of the port. I was approached from the standpoint, as an economist, can you put any numbers together with a dollar sign, because that's all really econ is math with dollar signs, that would support the reasoning we should propose and continue with the port expansion in Savannah. So doing some analysis, I used a software package called ARC Logistics, but there are several cost-minimizing spatial mathematical programs that are available. 30-some years ago, I was at Texas A&M, worked with Steve Fuller, who some of you may remember that name, as well as other people, that we were involved in grain transportation and various things along that way, and we use those kinds of models, but not ARC Logistics. But anyway, the idea is that these kind of models will source gin points, routes through for storage and warehousing, go through all the ports, even into the final international ports, to try to figure out, kind of like a linear programming model would, to try to figure out a cost minimization activity. Rather than go back and redo history, why I stumbled across a study by Farr Rossin and others at Texas A&M University, and use that as a pre-expansion point of departure, and use that to make changes from. And at that particular time, which was based upon 2009 data, why you see where the major ports for cotton exports and where their destinations were. New Orleans, since we're right here, why two-thirds roughly went to Turkey and a fourth went to South America along the lines, as we can see. But again, a lot of emphasis on other than Asian ports, even though we see that Savannah shipped heavily into Asia, but that was Western Asia, not Southeastern Asia. And I'm going to just move on for the sake of time, talking about where these particular ones. But as a result of their baseline, or their study that became my baseline, we saw the dominant ports for cotton bale exports being in sequence in terms of number of volume, L.A. and Long Beach, Savannah was second, then Houston, Laredo for land transportation going into Mexico, New Orleans, Norfolk, and Mobile. And so a lot of Gulf ports were prominent in cotton exports, and since we know where the cotton production is, why, that's understandable. applying two or three different scenarios and just really quickly to suggest what might happen. And that's the problem of doing transportation models, because we're talking about what the possibilities might be if certain things fall in line. Well, any coincidence between what the suggests and what really happens is purely almost coincidence. It's more like pure dumb luck, okay? And so as we see some of the things that the model suggests, and we say, well, that was, you're kidding me. It's not, it hadn't happened that way. Well, again, this is based upon a model that relied on history. And what do we see in 2010? Peak prices, low production. Now, what have we seen since then? Just the opposite, okay? In terms, especially in terms of prices. And so, consequently, those kind of offer things compound the significance of the model itself. But for the purposes of what I was asked to do, it worked wonders because it gave legislature ammunition to proceed forward with funding for the expansion of the Savannah port. And so we considered a 10% reduction in freight rates for vessels originating from the Gulf ports and the Atlantic ports. And as a result, we saw that there would be then increased cotton exports. Why did we think there would be a reduction in freight rates? Well, we saw the durage costs would probably be less because of the Panama Canal expansion, as well as the berth charges and things like that at the ports themselves. And so we would see increased cotton exports, with Savannah experiencing the largest absolute change, and that we would see an increase in exports through the canal, increasing by 20% after the expansion. We went so far to say, hey, you know, in the wildest dreams, we might see a 20% reduction. Of course, that altered things a little bit. But I want to point out that all this was predicated on the TAMU study, which focused only on the Panama Canal expansion rather than the Savannah. So this was an additional step beyond the Panama Canal. It was, okay, if we get the Panama Canal expansion and then we do the Savannah, what are we up to, okay? And so we saw that, and as we fully understand, fishyback or container shipping is more economical, more 10 miles per dollar of fuel, and then we've seen the decrease in the diesel fuel costs as a reality. But for the model itself, we held those constant at those prices, which were literally a dollar higher a gallon than they are today. Big issue for Georgia was, you know, yeah, it's important for Georgia cotton, but if we're going to appeal to the legislature, we got to find some other winners. And so AGCO, the second largest farm equipment manufacturing company in the world, is located in Georgia. So, and John Deere has several assembly plants as well. Caterpillar has its new facility just outside off the campus of the University of Georgia. We have several pickup truck and automobile manufacturing assembly sites in the state now, not counting all the agricultural commodities we're talking about. And so using sensitivity analysis, even a 5% freight rate reduction increased prices and production most cotton producing regions that were using the that would be using the Panama Canal. Obviously, for those West Coast company or cotton producing areas of Arizona and California, they would continue to ship through places like San Diego and Los Angeles. In our model, why the Texas would realize the largest gains in revenue. Remember, revenue is price times quantity, and it was going to be due to production increases, not due to price enhancements. Georgia and the other southeastern states were going to experience significant gains in production and producer revenues as well, but because we would be able to utilize the Savannah and Brunswick port expansions, decreasing the prices associated with that. And so we're looking at anticipation. the total cotton exports could be expected to increase over 3.5% due to production possibilities increasing. The share of cotton exports through the canal could increase by about 20%, and the share of cotton exports through Savannah could increase by nearly a third. The important regional shifts in trade and market share are anticipated to occur, but not just for cotton. And we're going to see some regional shifts favoring the southeastern cotton producers at the expense of the West Coast producers, in spite of the notion of price rationing supply. And the realities are that cotton trade, cotton production, and cotton prices are different, as we know today, than what their spatial models suggest. Best I can say, the model is a mystic forecast.
Any questions?
Okay, well, we've started dredging at Savannah. The Brunswick, which is just south of Savannah, will probably never occur. Reason being that just a few years ago they built a new bridge, but they didn't build it high enough. So it doesn't matter how deep you go, the boat's still going to float, and it's going to be like trying to take a, you know, there was an article in the paper, Wall Street Journal this morning about in North Carolina, there's a bridge that's listed at like 11 feet, 8 inches, and truckers try it regardless. Well, it'd be the same effect of trying to take a ship under a bridge that only has a capped height, even at low tide, okay? But the Savannah port is moving forward. Yeah. But they're also going to have to expand the length of the berth to accommodate these larger ships as well. But that'll be phase two of the expansion. One is getting it so they can at least get one ship in, let alone line up two or three. Once they get, then they associate with all the cranes and everything built, why then they'll be take those. We're just a little bit behind the time.
They have addressed the environmentalists and
the litigation, basically lawsuits. They countersued each other, the state versus the environmentalists, and so they talked about, you know, they couldn't stop grass, I guess, is what they were thinking about.
Thank you.
Thank you.